Actually, broadcasting live
from the Weird Room, you're listening to
Living the Scream,
the behind the scenes of
The Mummy and the Monkey Show.
That's right. And we're here once again with you, I guess as live as we can be in this type of format. But we are up, instead of our usual being downstairs in our living room in front of our Halloween pumpkins in the fireplace, we are
in the Weird Room. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes in our credits, we'll throw in Weird Room Productions, and pretty much all of our behind the scenes, like for editing audio or video, writing down ideas.
Yeah, the Weird Room is our production studio, basically. Yes. It's a room we designated upstairs in our home to do all of our post-production, and it's where my art studio is, and Janet has her little office set up. It's one long, and we call it the Weird Room because when I was looking at this house, before I bought it, we came upstairs and I said, boy, this is a weird room. And the realtor, was like, oh, you don't like it? I'm like, no, I love it. It's weird. It's just this long, skinny, I guess it was a bedroom, but,
yeah, it looks like back in the 70s, it used to be maybe like a teenager's hangout room.
It's all rectangular,
covered in brown wood paneling, yeah. And we've got a bunch of posters and weird art hanging up.
We weirded it up even weirder. But by the way, let's introduce ourselves first. I'm James, and I play the monkey on The Mummy and the Monkey Show, Grim Glory.
And I'm Janet, also known as Janet Decay, the mummy from The Mummy and the Monkey Show.
That's right, yeah. And we're going to do our, took a break from editing our sixth episode of our second season of The Mummy and the Monkey Show.
About damn time.
Yeah, and we're not celebrating quite yet, but we do a traditional show shot. But we're not going to do a shot tonight, but we do have a couple of Yuengling beers here. So here we're going to go chars.
So we're going to clash our Yuenglings together.
That's right, ouch. And if
you're live ready, on this podcast.
That's right, ouchy ouchy. So here we go to getting through episode six, about close to halfway there, editing.
Woohoo!
All right. Actually, this is show number 13.
Oh, that's cold.
Yeah,
you know what? We have done 13 full features, haven't we?
This is 13. This will be show 13 of Living the Scream.
Oh, of Living the Scream.
Yeah,
I thought you meant
13th,
the video.
No, 13th podcast show we've done.
I was confused for a moment. That's not hard
to
do with
me. This would be, well, that's why I love you. This would be, our regular show, our Mummy the Monkey, video show, whatever, how you would describe it, our horror-hosted show, that would be episode 12, technically, because we do six-episode seasons, because...
But then we also had two Halloween specials.
Yeah, but those don't count.
But it's like a featured video.
Right, those are specials.
They're longer videos, and they take more time to put together.
Yeah, but those exist on their own.
Outside of the regular episodes, yeah.
Yeah, but our main show, The Mummy and the Monkey Show, this will be the 12th one in.
Right.
So we're going to show Bela Lugosi in
The Devil Bat.
Ooh, that's one of my favorite Bela movies, bad movies he did. It's actually not that bad. It's got the most ridiculous premise, but I love it.
The poor brides.
Yeah. Brides.
That's
White Zombie.
I got it mixed up again.
No, Devil Bat.
No, uh-oh. Devil Bat's the guy, he makes the perfume,
You're
right?
You're like this close to losing your B-movie card right now.
No.
Very close to losing it,
no.
Janet. You can't confuse the
Don't
Bela.
Don't repo my movie card.
Bela LaGhostly, as a friend of ours calls him. I don't know why, but that's how he thinks it's said, which I think is awesome. But Bela LaGhostly.
LaGhostly.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's
you could draw
name.
Like the ghost of Bela LaGhostly.
This should be a character.
LaGhostly.
We could do LaGhostly as a
Bela
character.
Bela LaGhostly.
Yeah.
And because he was always in the public domain, maybe we could get away with it.
Maybe. Well, it's just a parody, so we can get away with it.
Might have to ask his son.
Yeah, Bela plays a scorned chemist who basically develops perfumes and aftershaves for men and women.
That's right.
And the company he works for got mega rich off of it, and they decided to give him like a couple grand, throw him a couple of shekels and thank him for it. But he is pissed. He's bitter. I don't know why. other than most of us work for companies that are multi-million dollar companies, and we don't get a cut other than what we signed up for. But he's pissed because I think they kind of lied to him a little bit, and but now that it's successful, they kind of, you know, he's a little bitter. So a guy that makes perfume, you think this would be like what? Who? Tommy Hilfiger or somebody?
Yeah, like a Tommy Hilfiger or
another fragrance. Who's a main, like their Jacquard guy?
Is Ralph Lauren a guy?
Ralph Lauren is a designer who also has his name all.
So Versace was a guy before he got killed.
He was a guy when he died.
He was a living.
So here's a perfumist who's all pissed at the company he works for. He figures out a way to grow bats to like 20 times their size. He takes a little vampire bat and with electricity or radiation or some laboratory he has above his where he makes all the stink water.
Stink water?
He makes all these. He grows giant bats using electricity, and then develops an aftershave or like a pheromone he uses that drives the bats crazy. And he puts it in this lotion, you know, shaving lotion or
aftershave
perfume. And he gives it to the people, his victims, and they try it. That's swell, Doc. I'll try this. And they put it on. They go, you know, they get ready to leave. They go, well, I'll see you tomorrow, Doc. And he goes, goodbye, Mr. Smith. You know, he's always.
You know what he says, goodbye.
He doesn't say, you have a good night. He just says goodbye to everybody he's going to kill. I love that part. But not to give away the whole slick movie, which I already did. But that's basically the movie. He this guy grows bats to kill people by using a fruity perfume he makes. And there's a couple of Ace News reporters. One of the guys from Reefer Madness, one of the reporters.
Oh, he was in Reefer Madness?
The main Reefer
head. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
It's a great movie.
We have it on one of those, like, 50 movie packs or something.
I watch it on Riff Tracks Lives, the guy that live with you. Yes,
and they riffed it.
Yeah, they riffed it. They did a live version of it. And it is so great. To hear them talking over it is amazing. And if you haven't seen that, we need to watch that, because it's one of my favorite live episodes that they've done.
Yeah, I would like to watch that one with you, but I remember just watching the movie without it being made fun of.
I got it.
And it was funny on its own anyway.
Yeah, it's a really, the premise for the movie is more paranoid than any pothead I've ever met. You know, that this will make people murder people, and like even back then, pothead or marijuana, spelled with a J back then too, which was weird.
The wacky tobacco.
MARIJANA, I think.
Instead of killing people, they'd be like out at 7-Eleven getting munchies.
Yeah, you don't even go to 7-Eleven. From what I understand, I'm not a marijuana advocate, but I'm not against it. I'm sitting here with a beer, which was made from plants, and it's legal. I don't know why. And this has killed more people than pot that I know, as far as I know. You never hear news stories about people. You know, that what do they call it? Driving under influence, but that can mean anything. But it usually is people that
usually
are drunk.
It's drinking,
yeah,
alcohol.
But anyway, we're not going to
anyways
a big political platform.
That's a whole thing.
Pot
to each their own. As long as you're not hurting anybody,
and as long as your platform, your soapbox is made out of hemp, man.
Groovy man.
Yeah, it's a hemp soapbox.
Anyways, back to the movie.
Back to whatever. So
whatever
yeah
we were talking about.
So the sixth episode of the Mummy the Monkey Show for season two. We're gonna screen the double bat. You can hear
is
the
that a spaceship?
It might be Belgor's cousins coming over.
See,
there it goes. You might be able to pick that up. I don't know if you can hear it in the background.
There's airplanes in the background overhead. So
ignore that. But that adds to the ambiance, you know.
Yeah, you can hear what's going on.
Yeah. So this is a raw show. It's always a naked. I know we did that naked show the one time a couple mm-hmm weeks ago. But our shows are always raw and naked in a way, in the sense that they're not, we don't worry about a lot of production stuff like background noise and things like that. You'll hear our chairs squeaking and, you know, me, you know, fumbling around sometimes, but, you know, putting our glasses down and whatever, you know.
We're all naked under our clothes.
We're pretty chill.
Or under the mummy ramps.
I'm just kidding. But I'm using the term naked more abstract sense.
I get
anyway,
it.
So we're going to show Devil Bat, and then we shot to see, there you go right there, something fell.
Oh, that's the cat on the windowsill knocking something over. Jeez, already?
That was the cat on the windowsill burping.
Louie, why are you burping?
Meow.
He's looking at us funny.
Our cat Louie is obsessed with going outside. And anyway, we're showing Devil Bat. And the footage in between the show is going to be...
from Monster Bash Mania from just... It was just a few weeks ago, but I guess it was last month. You know, it seemed like it was that long ago. Yeah,
June. And so we taped a bunch of stuff there, interviewed some great people, a couple celebs.
So you're cutting up the movie for me.
Yep, I'm adding the sound effects to the movie, chopping it up.
And I'm going through the video segments from, like, the interviews and us going around the convention.
Right.
And just sort of labeling and kind of having that ready to go so we can piece it all together.
Yeah, so we'll slap it together, upload it to YouTube, and burn it on DVD for you collectors out there.
And the cool thing is, and it's different because some people will just use PC or just use Mac. He uses Mac, I use PC, but somehow we make our peanut butter and jelly work.
Yeah, we turn the Reese cup.
Or the Reese cup thing.
Yeah, dynamic. But, you know, it works out all, you know, pretty much the stuff kind of jives with your program's more acceptable than mine with formats and stuff like that. But sometimes it's hard to copy stuff onto the card, and if it's too much on these SD cards that we use in between, it won't read it. You're not able to read it because it's not format. It goes into a different format. It's really weird. But
it is. You would think it would be universal where you could just switch it back and forth and it's not a big deal.
Plug and play all the time.
We've had a few issues with that where they just don't mesh well.
But, so that's that. And we really don't have a topic, I don't think, for this time, this show. But so we're
just going to ever?
Yeah, we do. we'll sit around and throw some ideas at the wall and figure out what, you know, we want to talk about. Sometimes it's just the random stuff that's going on in our lives right now that kind of pertain to the show or the podcast or about the Thrift Crypt, the store that we have.
Yes.
Located at
13349 Madison Avenue in beautiful Lakewood, Ohio.
That's right. And you can find out everything you want to know about the Mummy and the Monkey at
themummyandthemonkey.com.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, straightforward stuff. Just type that in because I know a lot of you are sitting there by your computers. Hopefully both hands are on the keyboard.
Hand check.
But if they're not, hey, I mean, if this is if this is something that you like to listen to while you do whatever you want to do, hey. Whatever, man. Different strokes for different folks, as they say. But anyway, so you can utilize the beautiful gift of the internet, and if we drop any references...
What's the internet?
Huh?
What are you talking about? What's an internet?
Uh-oh. I don't even know what you're talking... I don't know what you're talking... That beer went right to your head.
No. It's just... Because we say it a lot. Go online. I know it sounds kind of... I guess repetitive, but it's true. Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm lost.
I'm just teasing you about... I was trying to be funny.
I know, I get it, but you're just saying that.
A lot of people are aware of the interwebs.
I hope so.
I just hope we're not super repetitive in saying, go check out our site.
You can't be, because
you
never...
we like to promote it.
You have to. Now, see, this is something that you don't know. So you're assuming that people that... This might be the first show someone ever heard of ours. They might catch it randomly out of order.
That's a good point.
I know. Well, do you listen to radio ever?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, growing up. So when you listen to radio, they it's all about repetition. You have to, because you can't assume that everybody is listening all the time.
Well, they should be.
Well, they should. Well.
I'm just kidding. Again.
It should be. You know how I feel about that. Let's not,
I'm just trying to.
I know. And I hear what you're saying. But that's the life we're gonna. If we're pursuing a communication type of not career, but establishing a show, something like this, a forum like this, we can't assume that someone heard the first 15 minutes of the show. It's just almost like radio.
Right, and I know I'm just I know it's about promoting, and I'm fully aware, and we're all for shameless self promotion.
Well, it's our show. It's a show about us.
I was just thinking out loud because I know we say it a lot. Hey, check out our site.
Again,
go
if
online.
You listen for the first time and you've never heard
of... people don't know what an online is. I guess some don't.
There's a good chance that a lot of people, even if it's one person, we have to consider their feelings, you know? We have to really, you know...
We care about your feelings.
That's right.
Out
even
there.
If you're the only... Let's say 1,000 people are listening right now to this at the same time, and one of those 1,000 people don't know anything about us. We must make sure that they have the resources, the information to find out more about us, because then it turns 999, or you could even say if it's 239 people.
Or 12 into maybe 13.
Let's say it's 239 people are listening to us right now, all right, and then one more listens to us, and they, and 249 people know who we are, and there's one out of there that doesn't know who we are. If we get them to know who we are, what do we have?
One more?
We have two farty. We have two.
Too farty?
Yeah, too farty.
Sometimes you get too farty.
I know, and burpy. But anyway.
Anyways, yeah. That leads into what I wanted to mention next, actually. So that worked out well.
Segway, they call that.
Yeah, segways.
There's another plane goes by.
Another plane. The plane.
Sounds like a prop plane.
So Dino from the late horror show.
Dino Ewelt. From the late horror show on YouTube.
Yes, he actually did a little YouTube live streaming video, I don't know, maybe an hour ago?
Yeah, it was a shout out to us, to the Mummy the Monkey Show.
Because I did a goofy thing on Facebook where I saw the other day we had 337 subscribers. Well, I'm like, let's see if we could get 50 more.
Our YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, to subscribers to our YouTube channel. We'll clarify that. Mm-hmm. So I put our YouTube channel up on different Facebook groups, our fan pages, just saying, hey, like and share, subscribe. If we can get to 50 YouTube subscribers, 50 new YouTube subscribers and reach our goal by Tuesday, what's tomorrow, the 13th?
The 18th.
The 18th?
You better get with it, sister.
Gosh. Yeah. Okay, Tuesday, July 18th.
The 13th.
Then I will upload a new video that the fans have never seen before.
What?
We are sitting on a ton of video footage we're trying to go through. And I found some really cool behind-the-scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Blooper reels. I could even do a promo for our next episode. And I think people might like it. So
yeah.
Let's see how many subscribers we get. And I can upload something fun for people to watch as a, you know, hang in there for our next episode.
Yeah. Awesome. Coolio.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, so if you dig what we do, and we're trying to make it fun for you, so it's not so long in between postings and things, and that's why we're hoping this podcast is a little bit of a buffer between anything that we upload video-wise to YouTube.
And it's a great way to tie in the videos we like to put together,
mm-hmm.
the podcast itself,
yep.
and then the store. And appearances. Yeah. So it's like some happy mummy a monkey clump.
Yeah. Clumpy.
Maybe a hairball. A monkey hairball.
Yeah. Yep. He's been known to spit them out.
Yeah.
But, ouch. Sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah. So check that out on our Facebook page and like our YouTube channel. Subscribe to
the Mummy and the Monkey on YouTube.
We love that.
And Dino brought it up. Originally, I had the YouTube channel called Grim Decay. It was like a combination of our character names, Janet Decay and Grim Gory. But he's like, yeah, you should make it the Mummy and the Monkey. And we were, I think I did that when we were still trying to figure everything out and the channel was mm-hmm. brand new.
Right. Yeah, so big shout out to Dino Ewelt and his buddy Ted.
Yes.
They do that great show, the Late Late Horror Show. Check them out. And thanks for all your help so far, guys. It really means a lot to Janet and I. And we, you know, you're definitely an inspiration to us because you got a really good thing going on with what you do. I have to say, to me, their show, they do something that is unique. And it's like the thing that I try to figure, I myself would love to figure out some kind of format like this. Like for a long time, I thought, watching some of the horror hosted things that we watched shows growing, like the, there was a straight one, like Big Chuck and Little John, where they just showed the movie, did the skits, and there was the ghoul who put sound effects into the movie. And I thought that blew my mind. I thought that was the coolest idea.
He was super wacky and
But the format of the show. And now I'm thinking, you know, okay, so how do you top that? And so when I first saw Mystery Science Theater, I'm like, eh, they're not that funny. But then I started figuring out what they're doing. The format was very unique. To sit there in front of the movie like you're at a movie theater or on your couch and just make fun of the movie all the way through. And then I understood, okay, now I get it for concept, and plus I really do like the jokes. So Dino and Ted, they sit there, and they talk about a movie. They pick any horror movie or scary movie or whatever. It's not necessary, and none of them are public domain. But they do it, their format's really cool, where they get away with showing pretty much a full regular movie,
mm-hmm.
Make fun of it, like Chopping Mall or Child's Play, you name it. And they'll talk about it, but they superimpose the movie on a small little screen in the bottom corner.
Right, where it's not, them talking about the movie is pretty much the main feature.
Yeah, it's, all
it's
three,
not,
three quarters
hey,
of
you
screen.
Get to watch the movie for free.
No.
It's, you get to,
hear them comment
and get to see their personalities interact. They have a great setup, all the monster toys all around.
Yeah, some from
it
the
makes you feel like, you know, even though they talk more adult than we do at times, it's almost like... Like being a monster kid and you've got all your toys set up.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit and watch your movie with all your monster toys.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, but they got that whole thing going there. And but check out their show. Check out the Late Late Horror Show. Horror Show.
Horror with an H.
That's right.
Not a W.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ha, ha.
So, yeah, yeah. So meeting someone like that, it's been a really cool thing, a real positive thing for us. And we're meeting a lot of really neat people. That are involved in different things, but they still have some stuff to do with horror hosting or,
mm-hmm.
or things that are, that have to do with, you know, horror movies or B movies. And we should have, in the beginning of this hour, dedicated this show to two actors that just died recently, just the other day.
Yes.
George Romero, the creator of
Night of the Living Dead, and a million other movies.
And about, he was the one that said, hey, zombies should be flesh eaters.
He was
the grave.
Pretty much the grandpa of zombies.
Yeah. He kind of created that type of zombie, because before that, they were the voodoo type of zombies, right? They were more...
Haitian voodoo zombies, yeah.
Yeah. They're, and you didn't have to necessarily be dead. You were just like in a trance, you know?
Or they were just like, just kind of like a ghoul type of...
Yeah.
Not like a rotting gross, but just more like a...
Mummified...
Maybe like a mummified, ghostly ghoul type of creature.
Ah, as a zombie. Well, even White Zombie, the Bela movie, is about that flower that you smell or something, and it would make you zombie-like.
Right, but it never showed anyone like rotting or brains or
no,
any of that.
That was
Romero's. Pretty much created that.
And the great actor who portrayed Bela Lugosi in Ed Wood's, or in the movie, in what's his name?
In the movie, Ed Wood.
Ed Wood, yeah.
That was
Tim Burton's movie.
Yes, directed by Tim Burton.
Yeah, the late great now Martin Landau.
Oh.
Yeah, he was in his late 80s and
so sad to lose them all at once like that.
And interestingly enough, or it might not even be interesting, I at a thrift store the other day I bought a it was just a single disc but three episodes of Space 1999 on it. I used to like that show growing up, and that came out before Star Wars came out. I just realized that it came out in the mid to late, or the, almost like the mid 70s, 76 to 78.
77 was Star Wars, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they came out in 75, 76.
So just a few years before.
Right, yeah. So they were kind of ahead of the curve there. It was a television show that starred Martin Landau and his wife, Barbara Bain. And it was really cool. And I remember it, but I haven't watched it in decades. And so it was fun kind of popping that in and... watching a few episodes from their second season.
Or the first 5 minutes of the tape before you fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm notorious for that, where we'll watch a videotape before bed, and it's like that nice kind of, I don't know, because it's nostalgic. It's like, I could kind of doze off.
Well, did you say we put in a VHS tape?
Yeah, we put in a VHS tape. So we're retro with some things.
We're retrosexuals.
Whoa.
What does that mean?
I guess you like retro things turn you on?
Maybe.
Does that...
I don't know.
We don't want to get too into that.
I'm just trying to be funny. I'm sure someone's coined that phrase already anyway, that term. But yeah, so we'll pop in a VHS movie. Oh, we got Wonder Woman episodes from the 70s.
Wonder Woman!
That I'm dying to watch. One is she fights someone called the Disco Devil.
Wonder Woman versus the Disco Devil.
Gotta see that. So,
epic.
Yeah, those are on deck. For falling asleep to stuff.
We could pretty much build a VHS fort in our room right now.
We could, you're right.
We've got stacks of just tapes on top of the VCR, around the TV, on top of the dresser.
It's a bit of a mess, but we'll get some
on
some
the
stuff.
Floor next to the dresser.
We'll have to get some stuff to contain that stuff, because it is getting unruly. But, again, it's who we are.
But we love it, you know? You only live, well, unless if you're a mummy. You only live once.
That's right. And so I have fun with all that kind of stuff. And we sure as heck do here at Mummy and Monkey Central.
Mummy and Monkey Central.
We have a great time here.
Mwah!
That's right. So, yeah. So we hope you're enjoying the show, our no specific topic show tonight. And we're just sort of vamping and talking. And who knows what the heck we're going to talk about next.
Random thoughts.
I have no idea what we're going to talk about in the next half hour. Not a clue.
Are you frightened? Are you nervous?
Yeah, you know. I probably talk this much in my sleep, so it's not even a problem.
I know you love to talk.
I do. I like to jab it up. Jaw it up. I love talking.
Jabber jaw over here.
Yup, yup. So, we're going to try to take a few minutes here and come up with some stuff, or just, hell, fly by the seat of our pants or whatever we're wearing tonight.
I am wearing little skull boxer shorts.
And there's skulls with, well, some have horns
on
them.
Oh, there's skulls with devil horns.
One's horny and one isn't horny.
No, they all have horns.
No, they don't. Look at this guy.
That's because, oh, okay, he doesn't.
He doesn't, see?
Wow, you've been staring at my boxer shorts.
And you got boners on there, too.
I do have more bones on my boxers.
Yeah, there's a lot of bones on
there. A lot of boners.
And, yeah, well, nobody cares what I'm wearing. But that's okay.
There's an eyeball on your shirt.
Yeah, well.
Hang Loose Sunrise Surf Shop.
Oh, yeah, but nobody cares. Everyone, you know. Your tank top and boxers, skull boxers, they do look good.
I'm dressed comfy today.
They're cute.
Are they?
Yeah, it's a little warm up here, so it's best that you do dress a little comfy. So I guess we're going to wind it down here into our first half of the show. I'm going to put, I guess, another one of these spooky stories from the back of a cereal box that I've been finding here and there. It's interesting because I've been playing these little ghost stories in between the segments, you know, of the show. And a couple I found that I forgot about them until I saw the photograph on the place I found them, the audio file. And yeah, these were off of the back of like honeycombs.
For reals?
On the back, yeah, you'd have to cut it out, but it was the record printed on the back of this of cereal box.
It was a record that you could play. So was it like made out of cardboard?
It was a cardboard box, and they laminated a burp on
Whoa.
With a burp.
Hopefully that wasn't on the record.
They laminated, however they do that, because it's just a bunch of grooves, and somehow in the grooves they put sound. It's like devil magic or
something.
That's
incredible.
How they make phonograph stuff work. Yeah, but then you'd have to cut out the square. It had like a little perforated, line to show you where to cut it. And you would just put that square with the record on it. It didn't even come inside the box. It was just on the back of the box.
Remind me after the break. We've got, I could tell you more about a cool record.
All right, cool. Maybe we'll tell you about it. Who knows? But anyway, hang in there. We'll be right back with part two of
Living the Scream.
A long time ago, in a little town called Sleepy Hollow, there was a school teacher named Ichabod Crane. Now, Ichabod was a tall, skinny man who was quick to use a ruler on naughty scholars. Ichabod didn't live in the town of Sleepy Hollow. To get to his house, he had to ride his skinny old horse through the woods. He had heard stories that there was some kind of a ghost that prowled through the woods. Being a learned man, he put no stock in such tales. One night, Ichabod stayed in town very late at a party. As the evening wore on, after lots of food and lots of cider, the folks started telling ghost stories, and they got around to talking about the ghost in the woods outside of town. The story was that the ghost was a rider on a big horse that actually snorted flames and smoke. And the rider, he was a huge man who had no head. Finally, it got to be very late, and it was time to go home. Now, old Ichabod wasn't exactly scared, but then again, he wasn't too keen on riding through those woods this late at night. Well, he got on his skinny old horse and started off for home. As he rode through the woods, the full moon shone with an eerie light, making all kinds of spooky shadows. An owl hooting in the distance didn't make him feel any better, so he urged his old horse to go a little faster. What was that? Was it a dog? Maybe a wolf? Suddenly he caught a glimpse of a strange orange light. and it was coming straight toward him. Now Ichabod was terrified. He tried to make his old horse go faster, but the strange orange light was coming closer and closer. Could it be? Yes, it was a rider on a horse. The horse seemed to breathe smoke and flames, and now the schoolmaster could see better. The horseman had no head. In fact, the rider's head was carried before him on the saddle. And he was laughing, the craziest laugh you've ever heard. The headless horseman was coming very close to Ichabod now. He could feel the heat from the horse's fiery breath. They raced through the woods. The goblin was laughing. Ichabod was screaming. It was some wild scene as they raced along the little trail that led to a little bridge near the church. Just as they came to the bridge, the headless horseman suddenly stopped. His horse reared up. And what happened next is the scariest part of the story. The goblin rose in his stirrups and threw his head straight at Ichabod. The next day, Ichabod's old horse was found near his master's gate, but the saddle was missing. Later on, down by the old wooden bridge, they found Ichabod's hat, and close beside it, a shattered pumpkin.
Before I get myself in trouble.
Your Lifetime movie.
Yeah. No.
Oh. Please. Is that guy a monster?
I don't know.
Can he be another Frankenstein?
He could be.
Wow.
Anyway, hey, welcome back everybody to
Living the Scream.
Yes, it's the behind the scenes of
The Mummy and the Monkey Show.
You got Grim Gory and Janet Decay hosting the night away.
Hey,
right here on Living the Scream. Don't have a nightmare, don't dream. We're here to rock your world, so grab your guy, grab your girl. It's time to listen to The Mummy and the Monkey. It's time, y'all, to get down and get funky.
Wow.
Grim could have been a DJ.
You could have been.
Like Wolfman
like
Jack.
Like Mad Daddy.
Or Wolfman Jack. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Wolfman Jackoff.
Oh, my. Jeez.
Well, he's off today.
Oh, okay.
Wolfman Jack.
I gotta get my mind out of the gun.
That's right, I'm by Wolfman Jack here. I'm gonna cruise the trip.
So we were talking about records earlier, and...
Well, we hope you enjoyed that ghost story.
Yeah, we need to
and
mention
now we're
that,
gonna,
too.
And now we're gonna... Speaking of records, because that was from an old record, we're gonna talk about other old records.
Yes, so we're horror hosts. We love the genre. We love learning about other horror hosts and the history. Tarantula Ghoul was a horror hostess from out west... from the 1950s, and she, as far as I know, was the only horror hostess.
She was from Oregon.
Oregon. I don't know if it was Portland.
No, it was Seattle.
Was that Seattle?
I think Seattle.
Oh, I'm terrible. I have to check to...
I'm thinking Pearl Jam and Starbucks.
See, and her son, I'm friended on Facebook, too. I'll have to ask to make sure. But anyway,
yeah,
she listening. Was out that way.
Google Tarantula Ghoul.
Tarantula Ghoul.
All right, boys and ghouls, and the follow along. Okay, after you. No.
Anyways, as far as I know, she's the only horror hostess where she was also a musician. She was in a band.
I'm picking Janet's nose.
Why are you picking my nose?
You just had a little something on there. A
little piece of lint?
Yeah, I think it's just dry skin.
Probably.
I just don't want it to be a booger.
Oh, thank you. No fleas, right?
It wasn't a booger.
Okay. But she had a 45 record. On the one side, it was Graveyard Rock, and on the other side, it was a King Kong song.
Oh, what? A King Kong song?
Yes.
Oh, I like that. I got
and
to hear it.
They are amazing if you love old school rock and roll, like 1950s stuff, the rockabilly. And it's spooky, cutesy-poo Halloween crap. But I am trying to get one. There was an auction that I was outbid on.
There's another one up for sale?
Not that I know of. I have to check again. But every now and then they'll show up, but then people outbid me.
They're pretty rare.
The records are hard to find. So if you guys ever see a Tarantula Ghoul record.
45.
A little 45 record.
It would be from the 50s.
Yes, it would be from the 50s. And it would say Tarantula Ghoul. I would buy that off you.
Right. Cut the middleman out. And just
right.
But yeah, so we're soliciting for Horror Host Records right now.
Yes, we are.
Okay. That's fine.
And Halloween records are great too. And I wanted to mention that we were, what store was it where we saw Halloween stuff recently? Even though it's July, we're thinking about Halloween.
Well, it was a little bit of harvest stuff in there. It wasn't really Halloween. It was just the fall-looking thing.
But
it
might have been. There were some pumpkins in there, too.
Well, that's still part of, like Halloween? Like jack-o'-lanterns?
Like Halloween jack-o'-lantern faces.
Oh, where the heck was that at? Some store.
Maybe like Big Lots or something. I don't remember.
But they just had a little tiny section of, you know, harvest, you know, fall leaves and, you know, orange and brown stuff.
So I love that. Even though I love summertime. Summer's great. Weather's nice. Halloween.
That's our favorite.
That's our jam.
You were born close to the Halloween. Just close.
Close, yes.
Before.
A couple days.
Mm-hmm. But you could celebrate it as a separate day. It doesn't mar your day, your special day. Two special days.
Back in the day, Disney came out with Halloween records. What was it, like Chilling Sounds of the Haunted House? Huh? That's a popular one.
Something like that.
But yeah, there's some good ones out there. I think there's even like a Dracula record, the Bela Lugosi record.
We have it.
Yeah, we have one. I don't know if they came out with other ones. What's it called? It's hanging on our wall. Let me go see.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's just some stories, I think, narrated by Bela.
Suspense.
I should look that one up.
It's called Suspense.
Yeah.
An original radio broadcast. Yeah. So it must have been a Dracula radio broadcast that he narrated.
Bela Lugosi. Yeah, that's cool stuff. We have like Alfred Hitchcock records, and there's all kind of Boris Karloff. I have that. Actually, I have a
Boris Karloff had a record.
I'm sure he has several, but I
was unaware.
I don't even know what happened to it, but it's around here somewhere. But it's the story of Peter Pan told by Boris Karloff.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, you know the jacket's beat up pretty bad. But, yeah, we should listen to
that.
Did
he use the Frankenstein voice to try to...
It's just an hour of that.
An hour of that.
What did he say there? Oh, Captain Hook came on him. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of people... I mean, records were a very popular format. The vinyl, probably cheap to produce and put out. You know, even though you charge people $10 for those things.
Right.
But now you get them for a quarter.
Sometimes, you know, it depends on what it is. Some records are hard to find where you can't get it at a discount.
Yeah.
One record that sold in our shop, and it really threw me off, and it was really goofy. I didn't even know such a thing existed.
Uh-oh.
It was Training Your Bird How to Talk. Was it I think it was a parakeet or a cockatiel?
Parakeet.
So it was Training Your Parakeet How to Talk. So it was just like bird sounds and repetitive words over again, like pretty birdie, for like a half an hour on this record. And some drunk lady bought it in our store.
They should have English records like that. I know some people that could use those.
English?
How to speak English, yeah. You're a smart woman. You should know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that this has nothing to do with the show. Now we're getting into like
it's
drunken
pet peeves.
Ranting.
Drunken pet peeves.
Pet peeves.
We're not drunk though. We're just sipping one beer.
No. Yeah. Oh, someone's taking a shot at it.
There's someone lighting firecrackers.
Yeah, we noticed. Now we know that. I mean, this is totally off of it. It has nothing to do with horror hosting or thrifting or anything. This is just, you want to go into rants and stuff or no?
Okay, so this is my little pet peeve.
Both of ours.
When you look on Facebook and someone comments about more than one woman or pretty much they, why isn't it recording?
All right, there we go.
Oh, we had a little hiccup in the recording.
I accidentally hit the pause button. Go ahead, start over.
So my pet peeve is when I see on social media,
right?
People, they don't know the difference between the word woman and women.
Right, the singular and the plural.
So give them an example.
Well, you'll see things written out. Now, I know that the spelled autocorrect and they don't, the context, it doesn't know that. You could spell lots of different words, and if they're spelled correctly, spell check won't know the context. So you can put a whole sentence together of words that don't fit, and if they're spelled right, it has no way of knowing that you're, you know, what you're saying. I'm sure they can come up with stuff like that, or they might even have things like that, programs that can tell whether you're putting even a sentence together or not correctly the way it's structured. But this particular one is the word women and woman and women. Yes. Like, went to see Wonder Woman today. Now, that could have been them typing fast and didn't realize it, but I see...
Wonder Women? Like, there's more than one Wonder Woman?
I see it a lot. Like, I really love this woman.
This
you know,
women?
Yeah, you know, like, a, you know, a guy and a girl. You know, this woman is everything to me.
Oh.
But I think it's because when people, when you say the word woman, now see, think about that. You don't see, you don't say woman. We say women, or woman. You're a very woman. Special. You're a very special woman.
Woman, women.
But think
there's,
about.
There's a little bit of a difference.
Listen, listen, listen.
Women.
But listen.
Women, woman.
Women.
You hear the difference, don't you?
At the end, I don't. I hear whim and wum, but men is the same.
But
the,
there's a thing called Google to spell check.
I know this, but
or,
if you're
or
not,
check grammar.
But the reason why people misspell things anyways because they're not aware. They think what they're spelling is correct. They don't know the difference.
Because it's not showing up
you
on the phone as an error.
You only, the only way you look up a word is if you're not sure how to spell it. These people, the people that misuse that word or misspell that word, don't know they're misspelling it at all. They think that's how it's spelled.
Well, at one time I even drew a little picture.
A whole diagram.
Like a little cartoon picture of one lady for a woman. And then like three or four little cartoon ladies, you know, for women.
So it's all a sound thing. A lot. It's almost like... kind of cursive now. They don't teach that anymore. People don't even need to know. So it,
are they not teaching grammar anymore?
Well, maybe not.
Crazy.
But that's definitely one of the things that you learn early on because that's that word is used so much.
And we're not grammar experts.
Not by
because
any
we live in Northeast Ohio and
of the imagination.
People say things like, "Where's my code at?" And we
I've
like,
seen this movie.
Yeah, I hear that a lot too.
I say it.
I've said it before.
We
my
all do.
Whole family says, "I seen that."
I seen that the other day.
I seen that going shopping. No, you mean you saw it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I seen it.
But we all so
they don't even know that
yeah,
you're...
Yeah, nobody's perfect. But for some reason, that word women and woman and women, it seems to be one of those ones that stick out. I see it very frequently on the social medias, the typed out stuff.
But, and A and an.
Well,
it's one I see too, but,
yeah, but
though
again,
the woman in women is the most irritating.
But again, spelled like when you type something, A and A-N, they're both spelled fine. It doesn't know if you're using them wrong. There's nothing like that out there that corrects your sentence structure, the context of,
right.
of what you use. Because you spelled it right. If you spelled something A-Z and you went to spell the word A, you know, like I went to A-Z store. It would say, that's wrong. It would highlight it or underneath and say, hey, that's not a word. But, you know, I went to an store. It doesn't know that you... Oh, no, you meant you went to a store. You could type out, I went to an store.
Or I bought a egg.
Right.
No, you it mean I bought an egg.
Right, but the, you know...
Grammar whatever. Class with Living the Screen.
Anyway.
Anyway.
We're just killing time here. No topic. We warned you earlier that we have no topic set up. So you are, if you continue to listen...
Well, I have something we could talk about. You know, since we lost George Romero, what is your favorite George Romero movie?
Ooh, boy, that's a good one. Because everyone's going to default to The Night of the Living Dead, right? But he's done much more than that.
He has. But are there any other zombie movies that you like?
George Romero movies, you just said.
Romero movies.
I like the one in the mall. Day of the Dead.
Is that Dawn of the Dead or Day of the
Dawn
Dead?
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah,
that's
I like,
the mall.
I love that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's got a lot of good Savini effects. And Savini was involved with the first one too, wasn't he? He did some effects for...
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Savini's very talented.
Something. I gotta keep my wedding ring. Keep sitting there. Sorry.
I loved... did Romero direct Return of the Living Dead?
I don't know.
That I have to check. But of course, I mean...
You're asking me because I thought maybe you had something in mind, like you're going to blow everyone's mind with your pick.
Not quite. I was just asking.
Oh.
Just trying to make conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I'm not really a big... I don't have a big knowledge base on all the films Romero directed. But I know he directed some other stuff that was pretty good, too. But I need to look it up. You're catching me in an off balance here, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, we could talk about, you mentioned the Ed Wood movie.
Yeah.
When I first saw that movie.
Karloff. Sidekick. Lou.
I remember Because I was a Bela Lugosi fan, and I saw that movie in high school. We rented the tape, me and my boyfriend at the time. Or my boyfriend and I at the time. Grammar check. Anyways, I remember bawling my eyes out when Bela died in that movie. I mean, Martin Landau did such a good job in it, where it was, he looked just like him, acted like him. It was cool.
Well, I was watching one of those Space 1999s today, and one of the episodes, they encountered this rock creature. It was a creature made out of, obviously they had low budget, so they tended to do things like that, like the monsters were invisible, or it was a rock, you know, that's something they didn't have to pay a lot for. But the rock creature emitted like a different, it turned different colors. It was like a giant piece of rock in their ship that they took. And it would glow different colors, and depending on what the color is, it had a different effect. Like it would shoot a stun ray or a death ray. It would absorb water from stuff because it was thirsty. It was a weird thing. But Martin Landau is sitting there. He's getting ready to shoot this rock or do something to it. And someone says, like, John, be careful. You know, his character's name is John Koenig. Like, John, be careful. That thing might kill you. And then he goes, yeah, and so will old, and so might old age.
Wow.
I went, oh, man. And it did. That's what he died. I think he pretty much died the other day from just old age.
I think they were saying on the radio he was 89.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, Romero died of lung cancer.
Yeah, he died a little too soon, and that's too bad. Very iconic person, and the fans and everybody loved him. So
yeah, I don't know he's going to live forever, but, you know. But then you have Stan Lee.
Yeah, Stan Lee's like 100.
It used to be Dick Clark was the guy that sold his soul to the devil.
But, oh, man, all the fanboys would cry if Stan Lee. I know I would. Stan Lee's awesome.
I've never met the man. I would love to meet him.
Never got to meet him either.
I've been close in lines where he was, you know, where he was at the other end, but it would be like a three-hour wait. But
one time he was at a comic book store in Medina when I was in high school. And this comic book store didn't last very long, but they somehow managed to get Stan Lee there to do an appearance.
This is Stan Lee.
And they didn't have it advertised anywhere. It was like some random thing. And I was so bummed out when I found out that I missed him. Like, he was there literally the day before I was in there shopping.
Hey there, true believers. Excelsior.
So I was close to meeting Stan Lee, but not quite.
Yeah. Closest I've ever been, besides at one comic book convention, he must have been there. I never saw him because he was too mobbed up with people. But, not a lot of people know this, cause, and I really don't talk about it that much, because, well, it really didn't turn out the way that I would have liked it to turn out to. But I was in, I got to be an extra in the second Captain America movie that came out, The Winter Soldier.
Awesome.
And there was a scene, we were holed up. I was going to be a security guard. I got costume and everything, and it was me and about six other fellows sitting down in the basement of the Crawford Auto Museum. In University Circle. Now, that was cool because I spent the whole day there, got paid like $110. And,
whoa.
Excuse me. At least I say excuse me. I got paid a couple. But, so I didn't care anything about the money. I just wanted the experience of being a part of a Marvel movie, you know, even as an extra. It was great. So, because they filmed the first Avengers here, and they had a whole scene in front of the Terminal Tower where there was supposed to be, it's a museum in Germany, which is awesome because we all know. When you see this building and you're from Cleveland, you're like, there's a Terminal Tower. Even the inside, you know what this is.
Everyone knows.
It's hilarious. But if you're a Clevelander, if you walk through this thing and been outside this thing all your life, it ain't fooling you, but it's pretty funny. Anyway, so I'm dressed like a security guard with six other guys or so in the bottom of the Crawford Auto Museum waiting to be a part of the museum scene that they have in Winter Soldier. That's when Bucky and Steve Rogers' characters are in the, I guess they're at the Smithsonian, supposed to be. And they had this whole Captain America and the Howling Command and the Fighting Commandos display with Dum Dum and all those guys from the World War II days. And we got to see that. We were in the waiting. I was there for 13 hours.
Wow.
We got called up at hour 10 or 11 to be a part. They go, okay, guy. They were going to get rid of us at first. They were like, just go home. But they go, oh, let's wait. And then the AD came down and the assistant director was like, okay, guys, come up now. Apparently, one of the reasons why we were down there so long with everybody hanging out, and it was kind of disheartening because as we were waiting throughout those hours, there were people getting called up. Okay, you guys come up here. You know, this we need the crowd up now that's going to walk through the museum. Like, we're like, oh, man. But apparently one of the reasons why we were holding on, because Stan Lee was in the building shooting his scene. He played a security guard as well. And he makes a comment.
You're close to seeing him.
He was in the same building, and that's why they kind of they had everybody out of the set for a while, and that was when Stan was there.
Wow.
So they could just shoot the stuff with Stan. And then, like I said, at the 11th hour or so of a 13-hour day, we got called up, and I can be seen behind Steve Rogers walking, looking side to side, but it's blurry, it's out of focus in the background.
You know what?
As he's reading the...
I don't mean to interrupt, but I forgot Stanley's wife passed away, I think, last week.
She did. That was
sad, too. So that's another sad one.
Yeah, and but man, these people are living pretty long. At least she got to see him get his up and come, you know, what he deserved.
To see these movies come to life, bring his characters to life.
Well, and the credit that Stan Lee deserved. I mean, he and Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko, I mean, I'm a big old school Marvel fan, and I grew up reading those comics and waiting for movies. I've got it. If the movies like this came out when I was a kid, I lost my mind. And I sit there and watch these movies, and I wonder how kids even tell the difference between reality and these movies. Because they, at least when we were kids growing up in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you could tell when, even up into the 90s, they used stop motion animation. And it was really hokey, but you accepted it because that's the best they could do. I mean, I even hear those stories about King Kong when it first came out, the original, in the 30s. People were horrified that went to see it. They were flipping out, like, how does that real? I mean, that looked real to them, even though we look at it now and go, it's all jerky and hokey. But
well, there's some stop.
I still love it.
I don't know. I still think it looks good.
I love it.
I love the look of stop motion over CG any day.
Well.
Even if it's cheesy looking, to me, it's more believable.
Well, that's all they have. That's easy to say. Look.
Because CG's great. It's cool. Don't get me wrong.
It's an evolution of stuff.
I can tell that it's CG. You know, I can. It's like.
And you can't tell it's stop motion or practical.
Well, yeah, but at least I know that there was some tangible thing there where they had to take a picture of it. They had to do the whole process, and they have that prop somewhere.
They had no other alternatives.
On a computer, it's just saved on. It's a hard drive.
Yeah, but someone just, has to. But
it can get deleted any time.
Yeah, well, models can get burned or destroyed or fall or break any time or get stolen.
I don't know. There's a certain charm to it. Where
that's a different thing altogether. To say, okay, I still think in my mind of minds, being a creative person as well, I know the difference between these things. I don't like the over. I think some CGI is just poorly done, you know. I like good CGI when it's done like to the T. Like Lord of the Rings, Weta is the name of. They're out of New Zealand. It's this outfit out of New Zealand does a lot of special effects for movies, and Weta they do all that. Their stuff is pretty convincing, pretty wild. And then I think it's just from what I hear, it just depends on the movie's budget, on what kind of grade of CGI they can actually afford. That's why if you see some jerky, hokey stuff, CGI, it's because they couldn't afford the good stuff.
Well, if you can't afford the good stuff, just go with practical effects because it's going to look better than CG, in my opinion.
Sometimes that's all determined by the budget.
Just shoot a movie old school, you know?
That's a dying art as well. I mean, the whole practical effect thing is unfortunately a dying art. But
there is a niche for it. There is.
Yeah, well, just like horror hosting.
There's other people out there, I'm sure, that appreciate the practical effects.
But I will say that it seems like the thing that we're hoping happens, everything old is new again, right?
Or everything old is cool again.
It seems like that practical stuff is making a comeback. There are people that we had a fella ask us. If the at Monster Bash, remember that one young kid he asked us he was buying one of our episodes, and he wanted to know whether the effects that we use in our show, in our breaks and
stuff,
they were CG or not. And I'm like, no, they're pretty practical. I mean, there's some stuff we use that's in this one program that Janet edits in, but they're just built-in effects. There's nothing.
Yeah, like for one video, I she had a laser eye.
Yeah, Janta Kay shot a laser out of her eye, and there's a little effect there.
And we've done, like, a little bit of green screen here and there, but no CGI.
Well, before we even knew that you could do that, I wanted to use the idea of Janet getting us out of a situation and conquer the Mummy the Monkey Conquer the Cons, a special video that we did. There's a scene where she would shoot a laser beam out of her white eye. And I didn't know how we were going to do this because I don't have anything like that on my computer
program. And I found in my program, hey, I could do laser effects.
But before I even knew that, I'm trying to think practical. How can I do that? The best thing I could come up with, and I have the drawing. I may have to scan it in and put it up, the picture up. But somewhere in one of my sketchbooks, I have a drawing I did. And what I wanted to do was tape a piece of string to the side of your head and then have this string sort of like pull tight off, you know, so it'd be a close-up, like a three-quarter view of your face, and there'd be a string, and obviously you'd see the string because it's practical, but on that string, I wanted to put glow sticks that were, you know, cracked and glowing.
So I would shoot glow sticks out of my eye?
And I would glue...
Well, that would be a cool power.
I'd glue a straw on top of the glow stick, and then thread the straw through the string, and then we'd drop it.
Oh, geez.
Or even the string could be go past your head and be anchored above your head, but off camera. But we would drop this thing so it would just slide down like a laser. And just repeat that. But that's practical. That right there is an example.
That would be super practical.
A horrible example, but the best I could come up with.
Or some type of little...
to achieve an effect that I couldn't do like with CGI.
Bela Lugosi Dracula. They would shine the flashlight in his eyes. Right. So maybe some type of flashlight.
Or a strobe.
Strobe light device. Yeah. That would give me seizures or something.
I'm a big fan of practical effects as well. And you will see, I've been noticing the trend now in independent films, they are saying this is CGI free, this feature that we made.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there are some CGI movies that are cool, but I think it's way overdone.
And the operative word there is you think that, right?
Right, right. And other people can think differently. That's fine. And that's why.
Yeah,
you know,
I think CGI is just another art form that came around, that has come around. And I still would love, I wish I could do this. I wish I could invent a time machine to either bring some of these people like Ray Harryhausen or whoever these other guys that did this.
Would you want to see those Harryhausen movies with CGI?
I don't know.
Would you want to see the original Dracula or Frankenstein all in CGI?
You're asking me a question I can't answer because I don't have... But I would love to...
You know what I mean? Art would be gone. It wouldn't have any soul.
But I am not... That's not what I'm trying to say. What I would like to know is I would like to know these guys' opinion. I'm sure Ray Harryhausen... That's what you need to do is look up interviews with him. They probably ask him about that. I would love to know. I've heard, and I know just by, you know, doing things... It's almost like if you told somebody that was digging a ditch with their hands and someone goes, hey, I invented this thing. I call it a shovel. And they go, and then someone goes, oh, you're digging a ditch with a shovel. That's not that good. What about with your hands? That's the way to do it. Yeah, but this shovel, it's more efficient. I can, you know, you use different, you know, you can get this done faster, you know, or not fast. I'm just saying it's just a... If you give that shovel to people that use to dig dishes with their hands, they go, give me that shovel. You know, this is the greatest thing ever.
But then...
If I had this before, I wouldn't have used my hands. But it makes, I wonder how many actual practical effects guys think also get the merits of CG.
But then they'll think, I don't have to do the Frankenstein makeup anymore.
Yeah, well, makeup's
no more Titian's wax or fish scales or anything handmade. Let's just do some goofy CGI face.
And I'm sure that if you went back in time, you'll find someone that would go, you're using what? That's not the way we used to do it 10 years ago in 1910. Before, in 1930, they're doing what? Everyone does this. They go, what I know is better than what's new because it doesn't... We all say that stuff about music, about, you know, effects, obviously. But it's weird.
There are some great CGI movies. Don't get me wrong. I just think it shouldn't
be
done.
Too late. You're wrong.
It shouldn't be done in all movies.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time you've seen a hand-drawn cartoon?
Animated cartoon. Well, I know. It's all the art of cell animation.
Originally, Disney was supposed to reopen their hand-drawn studios. I think the last one was like The Princess and the Frog and Winnie the Pooh, but like, yeah, everything's CG now, and it's like, eh.
But once again, I will say that I tell you, if you can go back with a time machine and bring a computer back to these artists that animated these things, add, you know, the tediousness. They go, wait a minute. If I just did this and this, I can just keep it. Give me that computer. This is awesome.
Like, another example, and the full version was never released because they never finished it. It was animated
Snakes
so
on a Plane?
Well. Oh. No, The Thief and the Cobbler.
Oh.
It's not horror related at all, but it is really cool and trippy and artsy.
It's a weird movie.
It's a weird animation.
Yeah, it's cool.
But you can find a sort of finished version where there's some scenes that are all done in just pencil. But the animation is very fluid, really cool, and I don't know if a computer could match that.
We got a real purist on our hands.
Yeah, I'm a geek about that. I'm sorry. What's his name?
I would have to say that you wouldn't have Mummy and Monkey right now if you didn't.
Max Fleischer.
If you didn't have
some of those great old animators.
I think it's safe to
say. Rotoscoping?
I think it's safe
Google
to say.
Google it, guys.
I think it's safe to say that you might not even have the genre of horror hosting if you didn't have those bad effects. So they were necessary.
And they're not always bad.
You know what I mean. The cheesiness.
They weren't always bad.
But that's not what I'm saying. But you're not even adhering to the point. The fact that they were cheesy and they were, you know, kind of.
Sometimes. Some movies were.
Yes, but the ones that were made. Forget it. I can't anymore.
I'm being stubborn.
We're at the end. Yeah, but you're arguing a point that you're not even. It's not. This genre is based on cheesy movies.
The horror hosting genre is.
Not on classic.
And we love extra cheese.
They're not based on classic films of the day. No. They're built on, hey, we've got this package of movies, and even back then, some of the Universal ones were obviously thought of as no good, like Frankenstein, they were cheap. They thought of them as cheap and easy, you know, had to market. No one took them seriously. Just give them to some person to host. And that's what started horror hosting. So, big ups to the fact of, to the cheese and the schlock, because that's what, you know, inspired us to be here tonight. You know, it's why we're doing this show. Based on all that stuff.
And I will watch any movie that's cheesy. Add some extra cheese.
Right.
I love it.
Yep, and I hear that music. We love that music. Even though we hate it because it tells us we're at the end of the show. But
we're,
man,
all done babbling.
Yeah, before not having a topic, we really jammed on.
We did. So check out more of us on themummyandthemonkey.com. Subscribe to our YouTube so I can put up a special brand new video for my subscribers.
That's right. And only for subscribers. And we thank you for joining us tonight on
Living the Scream.
Hope to hear you next time, or hope you hear us next time.
Bye, guys.
I didn't know
Whoa.